The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Somebody come on and give God a great hand of praise in here. Come on, let's not stop the party now. Come on, let's give him glory. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, if God has been good to you today, if he's been good to you this week, you ought to lift up a praise in this place, because God is good. He is worthy to be praised. God, I thank you. I rise giving you the highest praise, for you alone are worthy to be praised. God, I thank you for this wonderful man of God who continues to feed us, continues to lead us. God, continues to care for us, continues to pray for us, continues to fight for us. God, we thank you for him. We thank you for his ministry. We thank you for everything you're doing with him and through him, oh God. Father, we pray for him and his family. God, we pray for this church assembly today, every officer, every preacher, every well-wisher, every member, every visitor. God, we thank you. We bless your name for them on today, because, God, we know that you filled them with purpose and promise, and your providence has them here on today. So, God, we thank you for their life and what you're doing with them. Oh, God, it is now that I stand in this place, and I celebrate you, God, because only a God like you can deal with a person like me. God, I thank you for patience. I thank you for loving kindness. I thank you for mercy that's new every morning. I thank you, God, that you have been good, that you have been better than good, that you've been better than what words can describe and tongues can express. God, I thank you now for this opportunity, because, God, you allow us in everything to triumph. So now, God, I pray and I ask that you would use me as an instrument of honor and power in this place. Oh God, speak through my mouth, think through my mind, oh God. Just have your way with me, God. I present myself as a drink offering. Pour me out in this place, God. Use me, do whatever it is that you want to do with me in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. To the God that causes us to triumph. If you have your word with you today, I want to share a scripture with you that God brought to my mind. It is not a new scripture for most of us, but it may be an unfamiliar one to others. But nevertheless, I want to share this word with you on today. It comes from the book of Genesis in the Old Testament, chapter 32. And I will read, just for the preaching of the gospel on today, I will read starting in verse 22, and I will read through verses 26. Amen. Genesis 32, starting at the 24th verse and reading through the 26th verse. And as is our custom, if you're able to stand, we would just ask that you would stand as we read the word of God. Amen. Genesis 32, verses 24 through 26, if you have it, say, praise the Lord. This left Jacob alone, all alone, in the camp. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of socket. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me." For just a few minutes, I want to talk from the topic of I'm down for the struggle. I'm down for the struggle. Brothers and sisters, every day I wake up to a struggle. Every day I wake up to a struggle. My alarm goes off at 5:45 a.m. in the morning, and I'm optimistic that when the alarm goes off, that my first struggle of getting up out of the bed will not delay me facing the second struggle that's soon to occur. So I get up. Upon my first gaze into the mirror, after I've struggled to get out of the bed, after I've hit the snooze, after my wife has woke me up, after she's reset my alarm, I get up. I take 10 steps into the restroom. I go into the restroom. I grab the toothbrush. I grab the toothpaste, and I do what I do every morning. I look into the mirror. Now watch this. Now, upon my first gaze into the mirror, I see my first struggle. It's looking in the mirror, right? And it's trying my best to reconcile an inconvenient truth. Like Jacob, when he stated, all these things are against me. When I look in the mirror after I get up out of the bed, after I struggle to get up when the alarm clock goes off, after I waddle myself into the restroom and I decide to take a look into the mirror just to see if anything has changed from the day before. Now watch this. I'll take a look, and every now and again I'll see an extra gray hair that's sticking out of my face or sticking out of my cleanly shaved head. And so that lets me know that something is different from the day before that I didn't see from yesterday. Now I see it today. But watch this. When I look in the mirror, I see the first challenge of the day that I must face. And when I look in the mirror, the first challenge that I see and the first inconvenient truth that I have to face up with and that I have to think about and consider is the fact that when Jacob says, all these things are against me, and when I look in the mirror, I tend to feel the same way. And the reason is because not of my character, not because of my pedigree, not because of my intellect, but simply because the color that reflects out of the mirror is a different color than somebody else's. Now watch this. I got haters that don't like me. Now this is all the stuff I think about when I'm looking in the mirror after I see the gray hair. I got haters that don't like me. I got supremacists that want to subjugate me. I have opposition that still thinks I'm 3/5 of a person. I have individuals that I see on the sidewalk that think that I'm subhuman. I'm struggling against opposition that I have not seen. I'm struggling against opposition that I have not met. I'm struggling against people that I have not touched. I'm struggling against people that have never had a conversation with me or don't know anything about me. And so when I look in the mirror and I see my first day struggle, I haven't even brushed my teeth yet. But the thing about it is that I'm seeing the struggle before my day even gets started. I know I'm made in his image. I know that I'm made in his likeness. I know that I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. I know that his thoughts toward me are good and not evil. I know that I'm bought with a price. I know that I'm saved by grace. I know that his mercy endures forever. I know that his goodness follows me every day of my life. I understand that he loves me unconditional. But the thing that I still struggle with is looking at me right in the mirror. Now watch this. I still struggle knowing that every railroad, that every factory, that every automobile, that every shirt, that every cup of coffee, that every stoplight, that every war victory, that every blood transfusion, I need some help up in here, that every blood transfusion, that every open heart surgery, that every light bulb, that every removed cataract, that every telephone you ever talked on, every jazz record or song you ever listened to, and every peanut butter and jelly sandwich that you ever ate, it's because of somebody that looks like me. And then I have to come back to myself. And I have to say that it is because of the Lord's mercy that I'm not consumed. And great is his faithfulness. And that I'm bought with a price. So that means something. That even though I might struggle with what I see in the mirror, not because I don't love myself, but simply because I can't understand how somebody can dislike me and you don't even know me. But watch this. The Bible teaches me that I am bought with a price. And so if you're bought with a price, that means something. Watch this. Has anybody ever gone to the store before and had to purchase an item out of the grocery store? Yes. So watch this. If you had to purchase it and use your money to get it in your cart and into your trunk, then you understand that that item that you purchased has some value, because whoever created that item had decided one day that that item was worth a certain amount of your good hard-earned money. So when I think about the things that I struggle against, I'm thankful that God tells me that I'm bought with a price, because what that means is that regardless of what I struggle against, regardless of who I struggle against, it doesn't matter. That person does not determine my value, but God is the one that has assigned value for me. And so even though I'm struggling and I'm in the middle of an inconvenient truth, I can stand firm on the word of God, because the Bible tells me that I'm bought with a price, which means that nobody but God determines my value. Nobody but God determines my worth. Nobody but God determines my worthiness. Nobody but God can tell me who I am and whose I am and what I am and who I belong to. Nobody can determine my value except for God. In this text, Jacob is going through his own struggle. Jacob, the Bible says, it says that Jacob was left alone, all in the camp. And a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. And watch this. Jacob is left alone. So Jacob is going through his own struggle. If we look at the text, we see that Jacob's struggle was the struggle, number one, that allowed him to struggle through something by himself. So when we think about the things that we struggle through in life, not just the inconvenient truth that I talked about, but any other struggle that we deal with in life, we got to understand that there are going to be some times where God allows us to go through the struggle by ourselves. But watch this. Jacob's struggle was by himself, because the Bible says that he was left alone. But if we look at the character of Jacob, some might argue here that the reason that he's struggling by himself is because God has providentially put him in the place to struggle by himself, because God has some work that he wants to do on Jacob. Now watch this. If you think about the character of Jacob, come on, Ed, I know you know about it. Watch this. Jacob was the kind of guy that when you were out in the club with your girl, that you went out to the movies, when y'all were out having a good time, come on, fellas, help me here. Watch this. He is the kind of guy that when you go to the restroom, this guy rolls up on your lady and tries to talk to your girl. Come on, somebody, because Jacob's name means supplanter. And so when you think about his name, simply saying his name means that Jacob likes what other people have. So in other words, he's not satisfied with what he's got. He's got to have what I got. So watch this. He is a supplanter. Number one. Number two, he's ambitious, right? We know this because he stole his brother's birthright. Now watch this. He's ambitious. He's a backstabber. Come on, somebody. He will smile in your face, but all the time he wants to take your, come on, y'all know, y'all help me with this. Come on, somebody. All the time he wants to take your face, right? He wants to take your place, right? Because he's a backstabber. Now watch this. The Bible says that he was left behind. And so when God decided to allow him to think he was orchestrating something, right, to help himself. So if you read in the earlier text, you see that Jacob had sent all of his possessions, all his children, all of his gifts for his upset brother. He had sent all of those things before him. And his hope was that when he saw his brother, that his brother would not take him out. Now watch this. Now this tells me something about his character, because he was willing to put up his possessions. He was willing to put up his children. He was willing to put up his wives and concubines. He was willing to take everything that he owned in his house and send it before him to see what his brother's reaction would be. Now watch this. If I can think about it, he is the kind of guy that when there is a shootout, you don't want to be around Jacob, because Jacob will grab you and make you the shield before he gets shot. He is that kind of character. And so when we see him being left alone, we really see the purpose of God, because God wants to take Jacob and he wants to make Jacob something different. Like we talked about earlier with the clay in the potter's house. God saw something that was broken, and what he wanted to do was he wanted to take the thing that was broken and he wanted to fix it. But watch this. Sometimes God can't fix you when everybody else is around you. So watch this. If God has you in a place right now where you feel like you're by yourself, if you feel like you're by yourself, you just got to take it and you got to roll with it, baby, because the thing that you got to understand is that God has you by yourself because there's something broken about you that you don't recognize that God wants to fix. So the Bible says he was left behind. So this was a personal opportunity for Jacob's character development. Because Jacob in this text, when we see him here, right, meeting his brother, he has the same character flaw and the same unresolved issues that he still had when he left home. And y'all want to know what that is in case you ain't read the text before? The unresolved issue he had was the fact that he had never made amends with his brother for how he stole his brother's birthright. And so even though Jacob has gone, even though he's left home, even though he's grown up, even though he's got his own money, he's got his own family, he's got all of his own stuff, right? And he's the man of his household. There is still something about his character that is holding him back. And so we see now that he's alone, that God has an opportunity to do some personal character development. The Bible says that he wrestled. And so when you look at the word wrestle, it just simply means that he was struggling with something. And the Bible says that he wrestled with a man, right? The Bible does not indicate who the man was. It doesn't indicate that he knew the man. It doesn't indicate that he had familiarity with the man. It just says that there was a man. It doesn't even show or talk about how the man showed up. It just said, man, he turned around, everybody was gone, and all of a sudden, here's man. It doesn't even talk about how they started the wrestling match. It just talks about the fact that at some point, all of a sudden, they start wrestling. And so when you think about the things that God has you wrestling with right now, I don't know what it is. I don't know what the situation. I don't know how it started. I don't know where it began. I don't know where it emulated from. I don't know where it originated from. I don't know what it's because of. But the thing that you got to understand is that if you're in a wrestling match right now and you can't figure out where it started, you don't figure out how it came. But the thing that I love about God is that he wrestled by himself, but there's purpose in the wrestling. Right? So the wrestling that we see Jacob doing in the text is a personal struggle. It is not only a struggle with the unknown, because he doesn't know who this person is, and the text doesn't indicate that this was a familiar individual to him. So his struggle is with the unknown. And sometimes we struggle against stuff that we just don't know about. We struggle to take the next step forward on something because it's not what we really understand, or we can't really see what the outcome will be. But the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. So watch this. Even though we're struggling with the unknown, we got to understand that we got to have enough faith in God to lead us to the next place. Now watch this. He's struggling with the unknown. Now he's also struggling against himself, because the Bible says that Jacob made the decision to send everybody else forward of him and to allow himself to be the last person to cross over. Now watch this. Every now and again, we make some decisions that put us in places that allow us to struggle by ourselves. Now watch this. When I was about 25 years old, I had a part-time job. I worked at the Wyoming Recreation Center. If you live in Wyoming, holly if you hear me. Now watch this. I worked at the rec center, and I drove a Ford. And I ain't talking about a nice Ford. I drove a Ford. It was a Ford Escort ZX2. It was a 99. It was about 10 years old at this time. So watch this. One time I went out. It was cold. It was real cold. It was about 2 degrees outside when we left work at about 10 o'clock at night. I went to start the car. I cranked it about 5 times. It almost cranked over 5 times. On the 6th time, I said, I know I'm going to get it because my car always starts. It takes a little bit longer, but it always gets me where I got to go. Now watch this. The car did not start on the 6th time. It didn't start on the 7th time. It didn't start on the 20th time. And so my coworker said to me, she said, hey, you only live right down the street in Hartwell. Won't you let me give you a ride home? I said, nah, I'm cool. I don't want to take you 10 minutes out of your way to get the ride. I got faith that my car is going to start. Now watch this. At 1 a.m. when the car had not started, and I did not have a way home. Come on, somebody. We family. I'm gonna share something with you. Come on now. We family. So watch this. At 1 a.m. when the car had not started and I had called all the friends I knew to call that could give me a ride, and none of them were available for whatever the reasons were be. And that night I realized that, man, I need some better friends because none of my friends could come and get me, right? So watch this. At 1 a.m., I said, you know what? This is what I'm gonna do. I concocted a plan. I said, I'm gonna sleep here until the morning. I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna try to find somebody who will help me get my car started, and I'm gonna come back and get my car. But I'm gonna leave. True story. So watch this. So at 6 a.m., when the next person who came in to start the shift saw me sleep in the chair at the desk, came in and started screaming, because she did not expect to see a black man sitting at the desk at 6 a.m. in the morning with the clothes that I had on from the night before. True story. So the point I'm trying to make is that had I made a different decision, had I decided to just not be proud and take the ride, had I decided to take the help, had I decided to not put myself in the position that if the car didn't start and you don't find another person to give you a ride home, then you won't be stuck. You can figure out the stuff with the car later. But just make sure you get home. That was the main objective of the story. And so watch this. When we look at Jacob and we look at the fact that he's wrestling by himself, we got to understand that it's a decision that he made. He made the decision to send everybody else before him because he thought that in his own thoughts and his own devices and his own ways that he was going to be able to work out the situation that he was dealing with, which was the fact that he felt like his brother was going to kill him. Now, how do you approach it a different way? He may not have ever had the wrestling match in the first place. But watch this. Since he was wise and smart, he decided to send everybody above or before him. God sends somebody to wrestle with him. So Jacob is wrestling against himself. Not only that, but Jacob is wrestling against the odds. And the reason why he's wrestling against the odds is that there are many texts that describe the person that he's wrestling against as an angel. And you got to understand that in biblical times, if you even saw the face of an angel, most times folks would quiver in fear if they saw an angel simply because of the fact that angels, whenever they show up, they're on assignment. And so angels just don't appear in the text for nothing. They don't appear in scripture for nothing. They always have an assignment. And lots of times their assignment is to kill something. Their assignment is to take something out. Their assignment is to change something. Their assignment is to do something that's not going to be reversible. So watch this. The fact of the matter is that he's wrestling against the odds, because the text doesn't indicate this, but there are lots of texts that do indicate that he was wrestling against an angel. And so when you think about the gravity and the magnitude of the stuff that sometimes we wrestle against, it can seem as though we're wrestling against the odds. I'll go back to the thing when I talked about when I look in the mirror in the morning. Sometimes I do think about this in a sense that, man, I feel like I'm wrestling against the odds. I feel like the numbers are not in my favor. I feel as though I can't get through. I feel like it's a fixed game. I feel like I can't succeed. But watch this. The Bible tells me that God never leaves me nor forsakes me. And so when we think about Jacob and his wrestling match, even though he may be wrestling against the odds, the Bible says that God would still be with him. So when you look back at the previous text, in Genesis 28, he says, what's more, Genesis 28 and 15, what's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. And one day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. So watch this. When we think about the things that we wrestle against, when we think about those things that seem to be against all odds that we have to defeat, that we have to overcome, when we think about that stuff, we got to understand that God has already spoken a word over our life that will give us everything that we need to accomplish everything that God has purposed for us. Now watch this. When we're wrestling, perception is everything. In the next verse, the Bible says, that when he perceived in some text, if you're a King James reader, that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. So perception is everything. And when we're wrestling, when Jacob is in his wrestling match and his adversary perceived that he would not win, all it simply is saying in the text is that his enemy, his adversary, the person, the thing that he's struggling against, the thing that he's struggling with, what he's wrestling up against, saw something about Jacob that Jacob did not see about himself. And the thing that you got to understand when you see this is that the adversary that Jacob was up against saw that his best was not good enough to defeat Jacob. Jacob doesn't see this in the text. It's not indicated in the text anywhere. But the adversary saw that he could not defeat Jacob with the current plan of attack. Now watch this. The Bible says that they started off wrestling. But in this text, in the second verse, 25, it says, when the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of socket. Now watch this. This is just recognition that your adversary understands that there's something in you. There's something about you. There's something that God has operating within you. That means that the enemy can't just come at you any kind of way. And there's not just any kind of attack that can take you out or can knock you off. There's not just some small attack that the enemy can do or an act against you that can take you out, because the Bible says that there's no weapon that's formed against me that can prosper. And so when you look at this text, the enemy has recognized that I can't take Jacob out just by wrestling. So the text indicates that he says he touched Jacob's hip. Now watch this. If you look at the original language in the text, and when you think about the fact that he says he touched his hip, everybody visualizes they're in the middle of the wrestling match, and he takes his hand, and he actually touches the side of his hip. But if you look at the original language, the word is strike. And so this is the thing that I got. I got a picture of somebody who's losing, number one. I got a picture of a sore loser, number two. And I got a picture of somebody that wants to cheat, number three. Watch this. Because the Bible says that we started off wrestling. So how is it that we start off just wrestling? And then when you see that you're losing, you decide to change up the warfare. So watch this. When you're wrestling with something and you realize and understand that sometimes things will get worse before they get better, you got to understand that the reason why it got worse before it got better is because the enemy has recognized that I cannot just do what I'm doing and get what I want. I can't accomplish my goal of knocking this person out using just the same old stuff. So watch this. The Bible says that he upped the ante a little bit. So in other words, you got to expect that when you're wrestling against something, that the enemy is going to turn up the heat. Because the Bible says that they were wrestling, but then he decided when he thought he couldn't win, that he was going to touch his hip. So we went from wrestling, now we striking. We were grabbing, now we punching. So the thing that you got to understand about it is that God is never going to lead you into a battle that you can't win in the first place. Watch this. I go back to Job, and Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And so you got to think about it, that even when it seems like it goes from bad to worse, and you're wrestling with something, you got to have some joy in that thing, because the Bible tells me that they were wrestling, but then he decided to strike him, which means this, that if it goes from bad to worse in your struggle, that you are moving in the right direction. Come on, somebody, because the Bible says that he wrestled with him, but then he decided to strike him. And so if I'm moving my struggle in the right direction, the thing that I got to realize is that it's not about the fact that my struggle is not over yet. It's the fact that I'm still in the fight. So watch this. When I think about it, I got to compare two words that start with O. The first word is overcoming, right? And the second word is outlasting. So sometimes in Christendom, we get twisted on the fact that we feel like if we don't overcome something, that we are not going to overtake something or we're going to outlast something. Because in this text, it's indicated that even though Jacob may have felt like he wasn't winning the fight, the Bible says that the enemy, that the adversary that had come to wrestle with him had recognized that he could not win. So watch this. He couldn't win because Jacob was still standing. So watch this. The Bible tells us that we're doing all that we can do to stand. To stand, therefore, watch this. It's not always about how many strike blows I think I got in the fight. Every now and again, it's about the fact that I took your best shot. And guess what? After the dust cleared and after the smoke settled, you saw that I was still here. So I can celebrate God in this text because the Bible says that after he touched his thigh, that he continued to wrestle with him. And so because you have may not have overcome your struggle, don't be discouraged about it. You got to be encouraged because you're still standing. If you're still fighting with it, if you're still struggling with it, if you're still in the ring with it, if you still got a grip on it, you got to rejoice because God has given you everything you need, not only to overcome, but to outlast. And you can't get overcoming and outlasting twisted. Like outlasting just simply means that I'm still here for the win because the win is coming. And so watch this. He says, when the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of socket. Then the man said, let me go. So watch this. Jacob takes his best shot right to the thigh. And when he saw that didn't work, now, all of a sudden, my enemy, who wanted to change the rules of the game, right? We were wrestling. Now you want to strike. Now, all of a sudden, I take your best shot. And you understand that you still are not better than my God. When you give me your best shot, watch this. He decides that now he wants to negotiate a surrender. He says, come on, man, just let me go. Now, watch this. When you think about the things that you battle against, when you think about the stuff that you struggle with, right, you're just one strike away from whatever it is that you're wrestling against. You not being tired of it, but it being tired of you. Now watch this. When you look at the text, the reason why he wants to negotiate is because he finally has committed to the idea that he cannot defeat Jacob. And so watch this. Even though Jacob may not realize he's winning the fight, the Bible says that he talked to Jacob and he said, Jacob, let me go. Let me go. Let me go. So what that's telling me is that because I was able to hold on, I was able to take the enemy's best shot. I was able to, after the dust had cleared and all the smoke had settled, I was still holding on to the thing that was struggling against me. If I can hold on long enough, whatever I'm struggling against, I won't get tired of it, but it will get tired of me. And watch this, he says, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. Let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now watch this. First thing we got to think about, number one, is when we're struggling with something, there's an indication in the text. It says, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. Number one, our struggle has an assigned time. It has an appointed time. Now watch this. When you look at the text, he says, the dawn is breaking. And so that tells you something, that this wrestling match has to be over with before the sun comes up. This angel, this man who's wrestling with Jacob, has to be back wherever he is, wherever his next assignment is, wherever whoever he's assigned to wrestle with next. As for Jacob, he can only wrestle with Jacob until the sun, the S-U-N, comes up. He can only wrestle with him for a limited time. And so our struggles are for an appointed time. They're for a season. And so when we think about the fact that we got to not only overcome our struggle, but we got to outlast our struggle, we got to understand, like the Bible says, that joy will come in the morning. So that's the first thing. Our struggle has an appointed time. Number two, when we look at the text, Jacob's struggle talks to him. He says, let me go. But then Jacob does something profound in the text. Even though his thighs hurt, even though he's been wrestling, and we could say all night, it may have just been a couple hours, but he's been wrestling quite a bit. And the Bible does say he's been injured because his thigh is out of place, but he still kept wrestling. The Bible says that after his struggle talked to him, then Jacob had the audacity to talk back to his struggle. Come on, somebody, look at this text with me. It says, after he says, let me go, for the dawn breaks, which means I got to get out of here, and you holding me up. No, wait a minute. Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So if you still are in a struggle, you got to understand that if you feel like your struggle ain't leaving, if you feel like you having trouble outlasting your struggle, then you probably not talking enough word to your struggle. Because think about it, if I'm supposed to struggle with something, I'm supposed to outlast it, if I'm supposed to outwit it, if I got all the arsenal, if I got all the word of God with me and all the angels in heaven with, I mean, if I got all this backup, I got all this word, right? I mean, at some point, I've been wrestling, I've been holding on to you, but man, you know what? If I feel like we not getting where we need to get to, then I got to talk to my struggle. I got to tell my struggle what I want to get out of the struggle. Because the Bible says, come on, somebody help me out. It's right here in the text. He says, I won't let you go unless you bless me. So he is very poignant and point blank to what he's struggling with, to tell what he wants, to tell his struggle what he wants to get out of the struggle. And so watch this. You got to understand that God gives us not only the ability to wrestle with something, but God gives us the ability to speak what we want to it. And then to speak what we want to get out of the struggle. Come on, somebody. All I got to do is just open my mouth and use the word of God against what I'm struggling with. Now watch this. So he's got to talk to it, right? He's got to talk to his struggle. That's the second point. And the third point. All right, you got to understand, after he talks to the struggle, right, and they have a conversation, he blesses Jacob. So you got to understand that whatever it is that I'm struggling against, if it doesn't kill me, then it ain't got no choice but to bless me. It's right there in the text. Come on, I ain't making it up. So whatever it is that God has me struggling with, whatever it is that I'm dealing with, whatever it is that I'm going through, right, it's not designed to kill me. I might struggle with it. It's not designed to take me out, right? And if it don't take me out, if it doesn't kill me, then it's going to bless me. Amen. Amen. I'm through. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.